Welcome to the Breakthrough Success Podcast, helping you achieve that breakthrough you've always been looking for in your business. And now your host, Mark Gubertie.
Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Mark Gubertie, and this is the podcast for marketers and small business owners who are looking for the breakthrough for their businesses. I am very excited about this show. For episode 53 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast, we are going to talk about overcoming obstacles by dancing to their beat with our guest, Jamie Stenhouse. Jamie is an entrepreneur and marketer who specializes in assisting business owners and clients to generate customers online in any industry. Jamie founded his first business, JCP Creations, as a 19-year-old. That business specializes in website design and online marketing. Since then, he has helped customers online across over 70 industries and has personally worked one-on-one with over 150 businesses spanning from startups to multi-million dollar brands. And now it is my pleasure to welcome Jamie to the show.
Thank you again, Mark. Always a pleasure to be on here.
It's a pleasure to have you on the Breakthrough Success Podcast. I've obviously had the privilege of interviewing you for some of my other summits, but one thing that I intentionally left out in my intro is that you have a stutter, which you described in a previous correspondence with me as a clear obstacle that also led you to where you are today. And I was wondering if you could share with us your experience with growing up with it.
Yeah, sure. So obviously, you know, having a obstacle like that inside high school, inside any sort of social environment can be quite, I guess, challenging and quite intimidating when you're not in control of a situation or when you can't communicate what you want to say properly or your ideas or anything like that. So that led me to drop out of high school, which helped me to look into what I wanted to get into. So I dropped out of high school because of my speech, and my plan was to not, you know, talk ever again per se. So I looked into doing a 3-year IT course so that I could just work behind a keyboard for the rest of my life. And then, unfortunately, at the end of that course, everyone, you know, was asking, well, can you do help desk? Can you do client support? You know, can you handle our clients? And I was like, no, because, you know, I don't want to use my speech ever again. So that begun to help me to look into the industry of online and, you know, how to earn income online. And because of that speech challenge, I, you know, had to learn everything about email marketing, SEO, SEM, advertising, right? Because if I couldn't use my speech to earn an income, then I had to find a way to automate it or to use online tools to produce that.
Thank you for sharing with us that story. And I did find it really shocking how, I mean, you dropped out of high school, planned on never speaking again. I mean, that's something that, like, a lot of us speak and, like, don't even think about living in a world where we never have to speak again. And now you are doing interviews like this one, and you've even taken the name of the stuttering entrepreneur. So how did you make that change from never wanting to speak again to embracing this obstacle?
That's an interesting question. So obviously it came with developing a skill set and learning how to play with the obstacle. And then once I overcame it to a certain degree, I learned that the more I embrace it, the more I give myself opportunities to come up against it, the more I will improve at it, the easier it will become. So it's more like deliberate practice. So any opportunity I can take to sort of speak or to do something that might challenge me, I always try to hop into instantly.
Thank you for sharing with us how you were able to make that change. I mean, it's something that, I mean, I feel like a lot of us take for granted our ability to communicate, and you really were able to take this thing that unfortunately happened to you and really turn it around. And we all have different obstacles we face. Most of us, like, not like that. But, I mean, you had this at the time. There was a time you viewed it as a big obstacle. You were able to cope with it and eventually overcome it. So how can we learn to cope with our obstacles that we can't control and use them to make us better?
I think in just being conscious that the obstacle isn't you per se, and that it is something external which can be controlled and influenced as well. So it's, And what I see a lot of people try to do is they try to remove the obstacle rather than integrate it and make it a part of who they are. So for me, it was like the more I pushed against, the more I avoided it, the worse it got year after year, just the worse it got. So then, you know, towards 22, 23, 24, I was like, okay, well, let me begin to actually utilize it, to embrace it, take ownership of it as well. And that really helped out to really even out the turbulence and develop my confidence too. But it's also, I mean, you have to embrace the obstacle. You have to embrace the down point whereby things won't be comfortable, and you have to put yourself into a situation where the obstacle might take control, and then see what happens on the other side. Because usually, when something happens like that, or when there's an obstacle that shows up and we walk all the way through it and we come out the other side, we're still alive. Right? Nothing dramatic has really happened besides for that half an hour. So when you learn that it's not that huge of a problem after you allow it to totally take, after you allow it to probably take 12, half an hour or 2 minutes or 10 minutes or 2 weeks, whatever the actual obstacle is, like, well, I'm still here. Nothing dramatic has really happened. And in terms of my own, it was more so what I felt and more so what was happening internally rather than anyone else, you know, giving me opinions or feedback.
Jamie, thank you for sharing with us how you're able to cope with this big obstacle and how we can do the same thing. And I mean, you're a lot different now than you were when you were in high school trying to create this plan of not speaking. And I'm wondering, like, if you had the opportunity right now, what would you, if this was possible, tell high school you about the situation?
Nothing, probably. I wouldn't want to. The only thing I would say maybe is to embrace it more, I guess, and embrace it earlier. But at the same time, I'm happy where I am, and I don't want to influence that at all. So if that was possible, I would like myself to still have the fear in that inside hustle, you know, to still have the need and the problem to overcome it, because, you know, that taught me a lot of self-growth, a lot of resilience and all of that, right? So I wouldn't want to remove that obstacle at all because of where it has brought me today and the situations I've had to learn through and sort of grow through as well. So I guess maybe I tell myself to lean in a little bit earlier, maybe, but that's about it. I wouldn't change it or remove it or remove the pressure at all from the situation.
And it's interesting how you say just let the path continue to be taken. Like, let's not try and change it too dramatically. Let's just make it happen to where it was before, because it obviously turned out very well. And you don't strike me as someone who looks at people who are able to talk and think, like, in jealousy or anything like that. Well, I wish I could be able to talk like that. And I feel like some people become jealous when they look at someone who has something that they don't, like, usually this is like money or something like that, but it could be anything. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, how can we avoid becoming remorseful or jealous when it comes to seeing that person who has something more?
I think if you're just present and grounded and conscious and rather than caught up in your own head. So if that tends to happen and you get that spark of jealousy or envy around someone, you know, if it be able to talk or if it be, you know, having a certain income or some flashy car, I think if you there's a few ways to fuse it. I mean, the first would be to go up and talk to that person, say, hey, what did you end up doing to get this thing you have? And, you know, you will be surprised the amount of effort, energy and time that it took to actually get them that thing which you are jealous of. And also just using it as a platform to inspire you to go, well, if that person can possibly achieve that, then I'm sure I could do it. Even if it takes twice as long, at least the path has been proven before. and you know, using that as a platform to be inspired rather than to get envious over.
Jamie, thank you for sharing with us how we can avoid getting jealous when it seems like someone has more of something than what you currently have. And in your situation, I bring this up because, I mean, when I did some digging on you, I was just amazed how you were in high school at a point thinking of never speaking again to being where you are now. And at some point you had to accept that obstacle and you had to learn to respect who you were, even with the voice, like the stutter. So I'm wondering, how can we learn to accept these obstacles we're facing as a part of life and like obviously be able to overcome them, but more importantly, continue to respect who we are as we have these obstacles?
Good question. So I think when you look at it as an opportunity to learn and to grow rather than a obstacle. So let's take, for example, you know, my speech. So because that was a challenge and a sort of obstacle, I now have the actual opportunity and the chance to heavily improve on that area by reading lots of books, to get new words that I might not get caught on, to learn how to articulate and how to become sort of a better speaker as well. So a obstacle is really a good opportunity to learn and to grow and to develop a new skill set. If you take someone who is heavily overweight, then they have the actual opportunity and the drive and the reason behind them to now, you know, learn about health properly, you know, and now to even become a world-class trainer at the end of it because of that obstacle, as opposed to someone who's reasonably healthy just because they're just healthy, right? So a obstacle gives you this sort of opportunity to come from a place where things are harder and to end up ultimately where things are a lot easier and you have a sharper skill set than the everyday person too. So it's just about really being conscious that whatever problem you have, look how you can flip this around and go, okay, well, can I fully embrace that problem? And if I was to reverse that problem and really hone in on that, can that become a very helpful asset for me, or, you know, a very helpful skill set for me in the future?
And I love how you view the obstacle as an opportunity for growth and developing your skills instead of viewing it as something that you just have to get out of the way, or something that for some people they think they can't even get out of the way. They look at it, they're like, oh, poor me, I have this obstacle. So how can we learn to dance to the beat of obstacles standing in our way instead of the poor me mindset?
I think it's a progression, not a switch, because I did have that as well. And, you know, I had that for a long, long time, and slowly it began to fade out over time. But it was just through practice and just through putting yourself in situations that are uncomfortable and through seeing how you perform and seeing what happens and learning to play with the obstacle. So unfortunately, you're not going to be able to practice this, and you can't do it at home alone. So it's kind of like you have to throw yourself out there into the thing that you're avoiding and use that as a compass for the thing that you should be doing ultimately. So when I was working on my speech, the thing that I would avoid is speaking, which sounds really weird, but, you know, I would be practicing a lot at home, maybe to some friends and that. And then the thing I was avoiding consistently was actually to go out and do the thing that was the obstacle. So the more I began to do interviews and speaking gigs and keynotes and all that, the sort of more I learned that, well, there's this problem I have, there's this obstacle I have. When I tell people I sort of have this obstacle and I own it, then there's no fear of the fear anymore. I think there's this fear around, what if people find out I have the obstacle, or there's this expectation to be perfect almost. And when you know, get rid of that challenge within itself, it would be by, you know, telling your partner or by sharing to the crowd that, you know, you might get caught on a few words here and there, then it removes the pressure of trying to be perfect, and then you can fully embrace the obstacle. And when you do remove the fear of perfection from the obstacle, you find that the obstacle wasn't really there anyway, because it is there, but it's it was more amplified for the fear of the fear, if that makes sense.
Jamie, thank you for sharing with us those insights on how to avoid having that poor me type of a mindset. And at this point of the podcast, the question that I like asking people is a big challenge they face in the journey and a powerful lesson that they've learned. But this was, we've been talking about that really big challenge throughout this whole interview. So I'm wondering if you could share with us another big challenge that you faced in your journey and a powerful lesson you learned along the way.
Yeah, so the most impactful thing, most powerful lesson was that, everything to a certain degree is and isn't in our control. So the result is never in our control. So how I speak or, take someone who is a bit unhealthy, the actual scales are not in their control. The actual result is never in our control. However, the habits, the process, how much sleep I got, if I'm calm, if I'm anxious, have I been practicing my actual, speaking techniques, all of those elements are in my control. And I think when people are playing with an obstacle, they look at the result too often. They take before and after photos, they, track their results every, 24 hours. And it's like, you shouldn't be focused on the result because that's temporary. What you should be focused on is the work ethic or the habits or how many times you, put your sort of energy towards overcoming or learning to play with that obstacle. And that way, when the obstacle does show up and you have a problem, you're not attached to the outcome because you know for the last 3, 6, 9 months that you've, put in the work, put in the actual energy. And if it goes incorrectly, if something slips up, then you're not concerned because you weren't expecting the outcome. You were more expecting to grow the habits of someone who puts in the work and puts in the practice into it anyway. So to recap all of that, I would emphasize that people, have an intention for an outcome, but to not be attached to it. Because as soon as you're attached to how things should be or how things should look and they don't go the way they should, that's when the obstacle, really shows up and tries to embrace that fully. However, when you work on yourself, when you improve, when you put yourself into situations that you think you couldn't handle and you handled it okay or you came out alive, then that, gives you more confidence. It kind of tells you, well, I overcame that experience. What else could I do? And the more of those which you can generate for yourself, the more track history you have, the more confidence, the more habits, the more energy you have to push against or to even play with the obstacle as well. So there's an old there's an old saying that, I'm sure everyone's heard, where it's like practice makes perfect, but it's really the perfect practice makes perfect. So what can you practice perfectly, or which fear or which obstacle or which problem can you embrace fully as well? And then do not be attached on the outcome, be attached on the habits, on the work you've been putting in every single day.
Jamie, thank you for sharing with us that really important insight to not get too attached to the goals that we're going after. It's great to set goals, as you mentioned before, but if we get attached and they don't appear the way they appear, it's going to have such a worse impact on us and our confidence and how we feel towards setting other goals for future ambitions, because that's going to make us feel a little intimidated. So thank you for sharing those insights. And one question I'd like to ask everyone, because I'm a true bookworm. I have a whole, I'm trying to have a whole library of books someday, but I'm wondering, what are 3 great books that you can think of that would benefit Breakthrough Success listeners?
I think The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield is a phenomenal book. It comes from a more artistic point of view and about producing good art. But he talks a lot about pushing through blocks and resistance too. So I think that's a very crucial one, even though it's not directly applied to obstacles, but it does have a lot of key habits and tactics which we can all take away. So The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield. The next one has an amazing title to it. It's called The Obstacle Is the Way by Ryan Holiday. Talks about overcoming External Obstacles. It's a phenomenal book. It's built around Stoicism. Brian Holiday is an amazing author. So I would recommend everyone read that one as well. And following that book, I'll also read Brian Holiday's other book, Ego is the Enemy, which talks a lot about internal problems as well. So between those three reads, The War of Art, The Obstacle is Her Way, and Ego is the Enemy, you should have a good sense on reality and how you work and how you operate and how you react to certain scenarios and situations.
Jamie, thank you for sharing with us those three great book recommendations. I can tell you that those three book recommendations are absolutely spot on. I'm really interested in Ryan Holiday as well. I've read a lot of his stuff, some audio, but a lot of his stuff that I've read. And I've asked you a lot of questions. I'm going to obviously give you that plug where you let us know where we can find you. But just before that, since I've asked you so many questions, what is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
Ooh, I would say, what would this look like if it was easy? So replace this with whatever you're pushing through, whatever you're finding hard. So what would training look like if it was easy? What would my company look like if it was easy? Because most people begin with the end goal of say having something very impressive, very complex, very flashy, something that shows off themselves as a very creative entrepreneur or, you know, some great, fabulous person, as opposed to trying to make their lives easier. When you take that approach, things can get harder. So ask yourself, what would it look like if it was easy?
Jamie, thank you for sharing that question with us and for providing all of your great insights throughout this episode. And as I hinted at earlier, I want you to just let us know where we can find you on the web.
The best thing would be to go to jamiestenhouse.com. That's where I do update a lot of my articles on that. I've got an amazing YouTube channel, little bit biased, but I share a lot of my insights on there too, especially around self-growth.
Jamie, thank you for sharing those resources. Breakthrough Success listeners, you can find all of Jamie's links and resources and the notes to this episode as well, in case you forgot to take them or you just wanted to listen to this instead of take notes, like maybe you're in the car or something like that. But regardless of the case, you can find the show notes at markguberti.com/E53. Jamie, it was a great pleasure to have you on the Breakthrough Success podcast.
Thank you very much for having me, Mark.
To never miss an episode, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on whatever player you are using. If you are a regular listener and haven't done so already, I would greatly appreciate it if you could give this podcast a review or a rating. Two ways you could do this are through markguberti.com/iTunes or markguberti.com/Stitcher. That ends this episode. Don't forget, dream big, achieve greatness, and unlock your potential today.
Want me to mention you in a future episode? All you have to do is leave a quick review for my podcast on iTunes and email me, mark@markguberti.com. I'll then mention you and your website in a future episode. You can leave that review by heading over to markguberti.com/iTunes.
This podcast is a production done by Mark Guberti. For more insights, head on over to markguberti.com.